So there was another thing. You ever feel like you just arrived somewhere and then it's time to leave? It's sort of like sleeping where you just went to bed and then you wake up and you can't believe that the night is over. And you're like, no way, I didn't sleep at all. I just fell asleep. Although with kids, it doesn't necessarily happen that way. It happens like on vacations or a trip to an amusement park or a haunted house or a haunted corn maze or any kind of really fun party. It's time to go home, but we just got here. We can't go. Have you ever heard this? I've heard this numerous times at fun gatherings. There's a kid who's really upset. Sometimes there are adults who are really upset for the same reason. They tend to not whine the same way, but adults whine nonetheless, don't we? Sometimes it happens when you're moving from one house to another or changing jobs. Maybe it happens where you work, too. That might not be the, you know, I can't believe the day's over. I miss it. I want to stay at work. Maybe it's, I can't believe I finished nothing today and the day is over. How did the day just pass that way? And isn't it just too common that when you're on your way out from wherever you're on your way out from, there's something to do that can't wait until another time? That happens at church. Kids grabbing mom or dad's leg. It's time to go, but mom or dad has something to talk about. Just 5 more minutes, just this, just that. There's always another thing to do. And this week's Bible reading has another thing, too. But first, it starts with, well, you know, look at the beginning. They came to Jericho. And he, his disciples, and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Wait, so they came to Jericho and then they left. No explanation of what happened. Okay, there was a big crowd following Jesus, or something happened. You can make that assumption. But they arrived and then they were leaving. That's the beginning of the reading today. Leaves you wondering what was so unimportant about the visit. Why is there no story about the visit? Or what's so important about what's coming up that it makes what happened unimportant? Just in those two sentences there. Let's see, Jesus had another thing to do. Bartimaeus was anything but quiet. He called out and said what he wanted. He needed to be healed. He shouted it at the top of his lungs. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he said it over and over again. And he kept piping up. And the crowd kept trying to shut Bartimaeus up. It says they sternly ordered him to be quiet. And that's really polite language. Yes. Sternly telling a person to be quiet always accomplishes keeping them quiet, doesn't it? Pipe down, sir. Why don't you pipe down, Bossy Pants McGee? Well, you either be quiet or I'll make you quiet. Yeah? Go ahead. Just try to shut me up. And while you're at it, why don't you mind your own business? Blah, blah, blah. Mutter, mutter, mutter. And nothing gets accomplished. That's kind of the way things go nowadays, and I'm pretty sure it's the way things kind of went back then, too. Of course, things would be much easier if the voices that disagree with ours, the voices of the people that we wish we didn't have to hear, and the voices of people crying out for justice would just be quiet. Because that's what we want. We want everything to be homogenous, right? All one voice. Just like Jesus called for, may they all be one as we are one. But the truth is, in church, in society, everywhere, there isn't one voice. I guess I'm glad things aren't so easy, because if there was one voice, we would get lazy and not try to make things better, not try to improve things, not try to be a place where peace and justice reign and everyone gets what they want. I don't know, it's a pipe dream, but Jesus asked the man, what do you want? When Jesus asked for the man, the people told Bartimaeus that there was hope. I said this. They said, take heart. He is calling for you. So where they had just sternly reminded him to be quiet, now they said, take heart. Look, he's calling for you. So he sprang up, jumped up, and went to see Jesus. And Jesus, of course, did say, what do you want? We heard that question. Jesus has that question all the time for people. And Bartimaeus just said, I want to see. And Jesus made sure that that happened. He said, your faith has made you well. Let's go a little backwards. I just said it a second ago. Let's see how good our memories are. Do you remember what Bartimaeus was shouting out to Jesus? What did he say? Yes, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy. You ever heard that phrase before? Have mercy? Bartimaeus meant it in one way, but all right, how many of you watch Netflix? A few. How many of you read the news on Netflix that Full House is coming back? There's a TV show coming out called Fuller House, and it stars many of the same people as were in the original show back in the 80s, except maybe the Olsen twins. I'm not sure. Anyone remember who the Olsen twins are? Just a few of you? Well, Uncle Jesse used to say, have mercy on Full House. Maybe that means something different. Or, okay, let's go back a little bit further. Wolfman Jack. Anyone? Wolfman Jack, DJ in the 60s and the 70s. Really made famous in American Graffiti for people who didn't know who he was. He used to say that on the radio all the time. Have mercy! I can't even do his voice anymore. How about part of the liturgy in the Roman Catholic Church? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Or a line in Ray Stevens' song, the Mississippi Squirrel Revival. You know that song? I'm going back even further, but it's a comedy song. The way the day the squirrel went berserk. Yeah, that's that song. Sister Bertha, better than you, experienced the arrival of a squirrel running up her legs, and she shouted, Lord, have mercy on me! Or how about when a preacher's on fire during a sermon, and either the preacher themselves or folks in the pews just start shouting, have mercy, have mercy! What does it all mean? Have mercy can have a whole lot of meanings, can't it? With Uncle Jesse, it's, give me a break. With Wolfman Jack, it's, oh my goodness. The liturgy, it's, be compassionate to me. With Sister Bertha, better than you, it's censored. With the preacher or members of the congregation, it's preach it, bring it. And with Bartimaeus, it's have pity. Me. Have compassion on me, Jesus. Jesus did. Maybe the people understood his have mercy on me in many different ways, and it angered some. We don't know exactly their emotions, but they did sternly tell him to be quiet, and then they said, take heart. And then Jesus, when all was said and done, said, your faith has made you well. And I can't give a full explanation of the your faith part. Bartimaeus thought that Jesus could heal him, and Jesus could. And I struggle with that because you trusted me, and now you're healed. That works. You didn't trust me, so you're not going to be healed. Really doesn't work. That sounds like a vindictive, petty kind of a God. So God can heal. I don't think God is limited by whether or not we say the right words or do the right thing. In our determination to be healed, our faith is a help, though. It's a help to us when we are being healed. But God is the one who can and does do this healing. And it's not limited to what we do or we don't do. So there. That's the your faith part, exploring a little bit. What about this made you well? That is This all-encompassing thing. It's not just your arm was broken, now it's not, on Star Trek, where they just run something over your arms. And it's not movie magic. Your faith has made you well. So has made you well is this whole healing thing. It's made you whole. It's saved you, healed you, restored you. All of those words are encompassed in what Jesus said when Jesus said, your faith has made you well, whole, saved, healed, restored. So if you're going through awful times in your life, things are just not going right. I can't promise this quick fix or anything like that. I can't promise that people aren't going to be awful to you, or that people are always going to be good to you, or that things are just going to miraculously turn around and everything's going to be great. But I can tell you that there is hope. Because Jesus, who healed Bartimaeus, who made Bartimaeus whole, who restored Bartimaeus to the community when he was ostracized, Jesus has that same love for you. So there is hope. My brothers and sisters, take heart. Amen.